Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Free Talk Live.
Hey, it's Free Talk Live, kicking off the third hour of the program. Phones are open here. If you want to join us, you can do that. The number is 603-283-6160. Here tonight is Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria. 603-283-6160. We're going to get back into the discussion about the Matrix films. The first three, because Aria hasn't seen the fourth one yet.
We can talk about the second one tomorrow night, though. I mean, the new one, the fourth one.
Right. But specifically the trans consensus, which is a pronoun that you learned recently when someone told you that you were not in the consensus, apparently.
Is that a pronoun?
Oh, no, it was used as...
It was used as a pronoun.
No, a proper noun.
A proper noun,
is
sorry.
What you meant. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was used as a proper noun.
Right. That you were told you were not part of the consensus. Because
I wasn't, like, explicitly told that, but they kept using that word, the consensus says, and telling me that I was wrong or not part of the trans community because I disagreed with the consensus. It's so bizarre to me that despite being trans, I could somehow not be part of the trans community, and it's because of an ideological difference.
We're
accepting. They needed some kind of, gymnastics to go around the fact that they were disagreeing with a trans person and being rude to a trans person while trying to defend all trans people.
We want trans people to feel welcome, unless they disagree with us.
Yeah, but, like, I'm literally trans. By definition, I'm part of the whatever trans community there is.
So we can get back into it. But first, we go to Clamoring. She is on the line in New Hampshire. Go ahead.
Hi there. Hey. This might be a little messy.
Okay.
I just kind of wanted to talk about how minors, specifically those in the foster system, aren't really in control of their lives.
Ooh, that's got to suck. Yeah, we've definitely spoken with people who've been part of the foster system, and it's just a nightmare for them in a lot of cases, being moved around to different families, some of whom might be abusive in the worst cases. And ultimately, what have you seen? Because so I understand it, you are a foster mom now?
I am, yes. Mm-hmm. And as an anarchist and a foster parent and a single mom, mind you, I have a hard time with the state being in my house, as we've talked about before. They have to do, like, inspections and stuff. Mm. They have to come in my house and see things. But I've seen some really messed up situations where kids absolutely should be removed to a healthier situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so, there's no real good anarchist solution for that. I mean, if a kid's being abused, if you've got a 5-year-old kid who is being abused and you know they're being abused, you can't just like, oh, non-aggression principle, it's not my place, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, and yeah, the non-aggression principle doesn't really apply across the board. Like, right. We were talking the other night about how if you've got somebody who's insane, then in a lot of cases you have to restrain that person against their will so they don't hurt themselves or others. And the non-aggression principle just does not work in that circumstance. And I think a lot of people would agree that if you were to come across a child that was being abused, that most people would agree it would be okay to take that person away or, you know, take that child away from that person, as long as you can prove it, right? Or as long as the child would agree, like, yeah, I didn't want to be there, you know, in which case...
Well, you can't fully trust that either, right? Because the 5-year-old is still, they still love their dad that's beating them or whatever.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's a perfect point. Perfect point. So my foster daughter right now is 14 years old. So she's a teenager, which is a little bit new to me. And she has a weird situation where she was adopted by her parents at about a year and a half old. And now she's 14, and they are unadopting her.
Oh, wow.
Did you know that this was a thing?
I didn't.
Like, you can just choose not to...
Well, I mean, you can do it with a dog or a cat, so I guess it makes sense you could do it with a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, I oppose all of that, man.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, once you make this commitment to upbring this thing, or in the case mm-hmm. of a cat or dog, to let it be your ward for the rest of its natural life. I mean, that's a commitment that you...
I get what you're saying, but I know of one guy who had a real habit of, like, beating the dog that he had adopted, and that person recently gave the dog up. And I think it was, I don't know if I would say beating, but, you know, it was a little more harsh than I would have supported,
sure.
necessarily, that he gave that dog up. Was that the right thing to do?
But
I think it was.
That comes back to the question of, you know, people beating their kids or whatever, and it being, you know, morally justified to extract the child from that situation.
Mm-hmm. But if you're not beating the child, you just decide you don't want them anymore.
You're pretty messed up. I don't want to deal with this anymore.
Well, is that what happened? Do you know, Clamoring, what the reasons were for the parents to do this? The adopted
parents? May not be able to divulge
them. They were wishy-washy at best.
Mm, okay.
Pretty much like they didn't want to have her anymore.
Like, we just want to go party and travel. We don't want to have this kid around.
Yeah, and she even told me, she was like, as soon as they get rid of me, they're going to adopt another baby.
Okay, for sure, once you unadopt a human being, you should not be able to then adopt another.
Right?
You know, I'm not a fan of laws and regulations and that things, but I think... You know, a person who's going to let you adopt a kid should do their research, maybe a background check or something like that, and should find out, oh, this person already adopted a child and then was like, I don't want to do this
anymore. So they like having the child at a younger age, but don't like them when they talk back at a teenage age,
absolutely.
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what the foster program is kind of for, so that that type of person could just foster a child from, like, age 2 to 5 or whatever?
But the system is so broken right now, it's just... It's ridiculous.
Well, I suspect it's always been broken, but when you say right now, what do you mean?
I just mean, like, everybody wants babies. I don't even want to say tangentially, but it's basically child trafficking, in my opinion.
I don't know what you mean by that, but as I understand it, like, all of the people who adopt, they want a baby, right? They don't want to adopt a 14-year-old.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
But what do you mean by it's child trafficking? Like, they're putting them to work in the fields, or what?
No. I don't mean that. I mean, everybody wants babies. I mean a whole bunch of different groups and things, and... Everybody's like, where can I get a newborn?
And when you say everybody, you mean these are foster parents who are saying this?
Yes.
That's so weird to me. So do you, as a foster parent, get to say, like, a preference of, I want to deal with teenagers, I want to deal with only babies, or et cetera, or whatever?
Yes, I do. And I have told DCYF in New Hampshire, that's basically CPS, I only want older children, because I am not personally looking to adopt.
Gotcha.
So I'm like, if somebody needs a safe place to land for however many months or whatever, that's fine.
Well, so but you're I'm in not. The minority then, is what you're saying. There are not that many people in the foster system that are willing to take on older kids.
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay. Well, thanks for doing that.
Yeah, I don't get why anyone would prefer a baby whose diaper you have to change, you have to give
awful.
It a bottle, wake up during the middle of the night.
It can't do any chores. Yeah. You can't get it to take the garbage out or anything
Well,
like
you probably
that,
can't
right?
get a teenager to do that stuff either, but the teenager, you don't
sure
have
you
to, like, all right, here comes your spoonful of food or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, the worst case scenario is I have to listen to a little too much Jonas Brothers.
Nice. Well, going back to what you said your original topic was, wouldn't it be more ideal if somebody who gets unadopted, if they felt themselves able to, could just go live their life doing whatever it is they want to do instead of having to, you know, go and get sent into a foster home? I think 14 is kind of young, but...
I don't know, a 14-year-old who's, like, unadopted from their parents is going to be, like, kicked out of their home with nothing to call their own.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they could possibly recover from that.
But, Bonnie, that's a really great point, and that is something that I am trying to impart on this 14-year-old girl. I'm like, hey, how can you survive in the world on your own Like, let's talk about finances. Let's talk about how to secure homes, et cetera.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the state works against you in that way as well. And thank you, Clamoring, for sharing your experience here tonight. Feel free to call another time with any other adventures in foster care. As an anarchist, it's going to be a really awkward situation to be in. Thank you for the call. But, you know, the state works against you by saying to 14-year-olds, basically, yeah, you can't work. I mean, it's technically legal, but the regulations are so heavy on 14 and 15-year-olds.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name is Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Phone lines open here at 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
And we've been telling you about how Intercoin can help any business and organization launch their own currency or raise money using their own token. And now Intercoin is available on an exchange for the first time. They've got their investor token available at xmarkets.com. exmarkets.com. You can sign up with just an email address so you keep your privacy intact, which is unheard of when it comes to centralized exchanges. So you can sign up over there, xmarkets.com, and deposit dozens of different cryptos, including Bitcoin, trade them for Tether, and then use the Tether to buy ITR, which is the Intercoin Investor Token. You can learn more about the Intercoin vision at intercoin.org and buy or sell ITR on xmarkets.com, exmarkets.com. You just might be advancing the cause of liberty around the world. We go back to more of your calls and thoughts. Someone calling themselves Sarah in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead. Hold on. Is it CW?
Hey, what are the traffic pedestrian laws in Bitcoin City, El Salvador? Does anybody know?
Any car can hit any person and it's fine.
Well, first of all, Bitcoin City doesn't exist yet, Sarah. So we don't know.
Okay. No. I actually have a real question. So thought experiment, what if tomorrow Chris Sununu, your governor, were to enact the same policies as El Salvador, where there were no taxes, Bitcoin was a currency. Like, how would you react? Do you think you'd have the same reaction as you do towards the current situation in El Salvador? Would it be different?
Well, first of all, in order for them to be able to say there was a legal tender in New Hampshire, I think New Hampshire would need to secede first. So are we?
Would they?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Well, let's just forget about that part.
New Hampshire has some sort of weird currency thing going on where, like, the New Hampshire Goldback couldn't even have the word currency on it.
Yeah, I guess they could accept Bitcoin for tax payments, and that would effectively make it kind of a legal tender, but...
But it's not an illegal tender in the first place.
To answer this question, either way, I would feel the exact same as the way I feel about El Salvador. It should not be mandated to businesses. There's a business up the street. I've asked her if she would take crypto for her fish food.
She said nope.
And she said no, it's too complicated for me. I don't believe that person should be mandated to accept crypto, even though I think it'd be a really good idea for her because she doesn't like credit card fees.
Right.
He asked a good question, though, and it's really made me think, you know, if Sununu was to do that, say, okay, we're getting rid of all of these taxes, there's just a sales tax now.
Which there isn't in New Hampshire.
But if he wants to implement one to get rid of all the others, okay, I understand that at least, right? Because then you're not penalizing people for saving and investing, you're just penalizing people for spending.
Mm-hmm.
And 100%, you're totally okay to use cryptocurrencies, we're not going to, you know, we're going to treat it as equal to the USD. I would... See, but I can't even imagine the scenario where Sununu does it in this way that El Salvador was. But, to the point, I would be more happy about it happening in New Hampshire than I am about it happening in El Salvador. I still wouldn't approve of it, but it would bother me ever so slightly less.
It seems like a major step towards freedom, though, right? Like, you're mandating a currency that is decentralized and cannot be manipulated by a centralized reserve or bank.
Is that what you were saying? You were proposing that the Sununu mandate people accept Bitcoin?
I don't believe that you can achieve freedom through mandates.
I got that. I just feel like that would be such a huge step.
Toward freedom through mandates.
If it was a choice, if we were just now suddenly allowed to do those things, but it wasn't mandated that all businesses accept crypto, I'd be so excited.
The only thing that they should do, if they're going to do something regarding cryptocurrency, is abolish all laws regarding things like money transmission, banking, all of that stuff, any kind of regulations on money in New Hampshire. If they want to, they can have government agencies accept cryptocurrency as an option for payments. Like, if somebody, for whatever reason, wants to pay a tax in crypto, that could be an option for them, and that would make it kind of legal tender. But yeah, I got to agree with my co-host here. It is not a step in the right direction to mandate people accept cryptocurrency. That just creates resentment, and that's why you've seen in El Salvador, if you've been watching what's been going on down there, there have been protests, anti-Bitcoin protests. And when you actually talk to some of the people people who are having the protests, they'll tell you that they're not so much against Bitcoin as they are against being forced into accepting Bitcoin.
Especially if there was some new wallet that you had to use, that'd be no-no.
A government
wallet? Well, you don't have
wallet?
To use the El Salvador wallet.
You don't, but they're pushing it heavily. Go ahead.
If you guys woke up tomorrow and Bitcoin was the legal currency, not the U.S. dollar, which is being inflated extraordinarily every day, mm-hmm. right? Like, how could you not be ecstatic about that? You've been talking about Bitcoin for 10 years. It feels like you're being very rigid. I've listened to you guys for a long time, and I know how rigid that our principles can be, and that's gotten, need to be strong with my principles, but...
Well, you have to understand, there's a difference between Bitcoin being legal and legal tender. Legal tender is government force that says that all debts, public and private, in the case of the United States, it may mean different things in other countries, but here, all debts, public and private, you must be able to pay them with the U.S. dollar. That's what legal tender means here. And now that's not how it's being used down in El Salvador, where they're saying that every merchant must accept it.
They still have the dollar. In El Salvador, they still have the dollar.
And it is also legal tender there.
It might be a different story if instead of having one thing, the U.S. dollar, for U.S. tender, they had Bitcoin for legal tender.
I think the caller misunderstands our love for Bitcoin. We love Bitcoin because it's a way to secure freedom. It's the best tool that we've seen to secure freedom in our lifetimes. We value freedom far more than we value Bitcoin. Bitcoin is just a tool that we're using to achieve freedom. It's the freedom that we want. It's not the Bitcoin. It's the freedom that Bitcoin can get us. And if Bitcoin is being forced on people, then we're not any closer to freedom, no matter how much Bitcoin we have.
Mm.
No, I definitely see your point. You make a really good point. No, I guess I'll just end with, what if the government were to mandate it, and because of Bitcoin's decentralization and freedom, it were to quickly...
It's not freedom if it's mandated, though.
Well, hold on. Any stranglehold the government had, Bitcoin might wipe that out in a couple of months. Once you get the adoption... And Bitcoin's decentralized, and it wipes out government control.
Okay, but the U.S. government isn't going to do that because it has its own fiat money, and it has no interest in wiping out government control. I mean, what you're talking about is an impossibility in a country that has a central bank.
And that's why I said it might be different if they got rid of the dollar in New Hampshire and it was only Bitcoin. Honestly, that's a different situation than the dollar and Bitcoin being mandated.
But that's not what you're saying is
it still wouldn't be good. It's not what I would want.
When you say get rid of the dollar, are you meaning prohibit the dollar?
Well,
because we don't just get to wake up in the morning and have currency disappear, okay? That's, as bad as the dollar is, it isn't just going to disappear tomorrow. It might go into hyperinflation, but it isn't going to disappear. So you don't get that. There's no point in talking about that. But if we're talking about prohibiting the dollar, I oppose that too. If people want to use the dollar, they should be free to use the dollar. If people want to use Bitcoin, they should be free to use Bitcoin. The freedom answer is to say government get out of money and have no say at all in what people can and can't use, and then let the market decide. Thank you for the call, Sarah. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. But all of this ridiculous what-if fantasy, because the U.S. government, like the Venezuelan government, has a central bank, and they intend to use it, and they will use it until they can't anymore, and that unfortunately is a distant place we cannot see on the horizon.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. An increasing number of things are falling apart daily. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, and that includes food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take this moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. My Patriot Supply has earned over 47,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious food kits average 2,000 calories per day and last up to 25 years in storage, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a food kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for the news to tell you something bad happened again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
U.S. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Travel headaches continuing across the country as flights are continuing to be delayed as COVID cases surge. FlightAware reporting more than 2,500 flights were canceled on Monday. This comes after more than 6,000 were canceled globally on Christmas Eve, Christmas, and the day after. The TSA is saying they screened millions of passengers over the holiday weekend, the busiest time of year for air travel. This traveler at LaGuardia Airport in Queens, New York, tells Fox News she's no fan of being stranded at an airport.
It's frustrating because, you know, it's kind of scary and, you know, getting stranded at an airport.
President Biden back in Delaware after spending some time at the White House holding a conference call with governors. Biden saying more at-home tests are on the way. This is USA Radio News. The vaccine requirement for New York City goes into effect on Monday. The mandate requiring private sector employees to have at least one dose of a vaccine as of this week. New York Republican Congresswoman Nicole Maliotakis joins Fox and Friends and says she's hopeful a couple of things happen that would eliminate the vaccine mandate.
Next week, we're going to get a new mayor here in New York City, and we're hoping that that mayor is going to revisit some of these policies, and the Supreme Court will be looking at the Biden mandate as well. So let's hope that things loosen up here and we focus more on treatment and therapeutics going forward.
A AAA survey of gas stations finds the national average price for regular is back below $3.29 a gallon. Prices are below $3 a gallon in 11 states. Oklahoma's statewide average of $2.86 a gallon is the nation's lowest. You're listening to USA Radio News.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
This Free Talk Live. Phones open here. Actually, pretty busy night on the phones on a Monday night here. You can join us and bring up whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. Here in the studio, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria. 603-283-6160. And don't forget, you can join us online. We've got our social media site over at social.freetalklive.com. We run the site. It's not some sort of big tech thing where they tell you what you can and can't say, ban you with no reason whatsoever. Just found out, by the way, that former co-host here, Vincent, had his YouTube channel deleted without notice. They just terminated his channel, didn't tell him why, and luckily he's
they
over.
Tend to do that.
Yeah, luckily he's over on Odyssey, and so of course so are we. And you can join our social media platform. So if you get deleted, like the libertarians on Twitter continue to complain every week, some new libertarians get banned off of Twitter, and all they do is say, oh man, you know, they get angry about it, right? Like they go, F this, and they never actually leave Twitter. They never actually go anywhere else to, you know, create a new profile on, say, a Mastodon server. Like,
of course not. Like a lot of people, they don't want to actually solve problems. They just want to complain
about it. Yeah. And commiserate with each other in their complaining. So you can, if you want to actually do something different, go to social.freetalklive.com. We're not telling you you have to abandon your other social media profiles. It's just maybe you want to have one for if something bad happens over on the other social medias. And there's actually pretty easy instructions to use services like IFTTT, which stands for if this, then that, and use that to actually cross-post, which is what I do. I post to my social.freetalklive.com account first, and then it's automatically cross-posted over to Twitter, which is the other place that I still have a social media account. So I don't actually post to Twitter. That's done automatically. And you can set that up easily. Go to social.freetalklive.com. There's actually, I think, some instructions that I put in the site on one of the initial pages that'll kind of go over that for you if you want to learn that process. Doesn't take very long to set up. All right, so we go back to your calls and thoughts. We go to Joe. He's in Maryland, and you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, happy holidays, everybody.
Hi, Joe. What's on your mind tonight?
All right. Okay, let me tell you a little story, and you guys can decide whether you believe it or not. This is what I heard.
All right.
Because you guys are into Bitcoin and everything like that. There was this international criminal in Europe, and he was a superior mathematician to the Mex. Well, some of his shipments got caught, and his men rolled on him. So naturally, he sent his associates to see those men. And a big thing happened. So he was exposed even more and more. Well, he was on the run. Then he finally got to Brazil. He got caught. When he got caught, that's when Toshi Yamamoto disappeared.
Yeah, I've heard this story. I forget the guy's name. Do you remember the guy's name?
I can't remember his name because I told you I had that operation.
Yeah, there is a theory out there that there is some sort of really brilliant criminal mastermind who is in a prison cell and that they believe that he's Satoshi Nakamoto. And I'm sure if you were to look up, like, guy in prison Satoshi Nakamoto, you'd probably figure out who he is and why they make those allegations.
Oh,
so
I
you're
have,
saying
I
you buy that story? You think that's the truth about the creator of Bitcoin?
Well, he's not buried. He still sees sunlight.
How do we know that that's when he disappeared? What does that mean that that...
I'm telling you a story, and you believe...
No, I just mean, what does it mean by that's when Satoshi Nakamoto disappeared? That's like the day he stopped doing things, and what things was he doing?
When he went to Brazil, and he was really on the big-time run, and got caught, that's when Satoshi Nakamoto stopped typing.
So what he's referring to is Satoshi Nakamoto would still post after releasing Bitcoin. There were a couple more years where he was still...
There were forum posts and newsletters
and stuff. A character, basically, on the Internet that you could, in theory, interact with. You could send him messages on a forum, etc. And so you're saying it corresponded. The guy being put in prison who apparently had some technical ability, wasn't just your average, like, Pablo Escobar thug. Apparently,
no, not even close to being average when it comes to mathematician. Probably about 180.
But you don't remember the guy's name. So what else did you want to say about it?
No, I was just saying, I also heard that, you know how they, what's his name? Marcos, they bury these guys in a prison that's underground and stuff like that. Well, he's not buried underground, what I heard. And I think, you know, they watch him every day to see. Naturally, he's not going to be stupid to go to a computer, but he won't even touch a computer and stuff like that. So I'm just saying, I told you a story. You can believe it. You don't believe.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to believe or disbelieve. There's nothing there upon which I am inclined to establish a belief. It's a cool story, bro.
Yeah. Thank you for the call tonight, Joe. Appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160.
My question would just be, why even do silly crimes that you could get caught for if you were the creator of Bitcoin and you understood what Bitcoin really was and that you would be very rich one day?
It's certainly tragic to think of Satoshi Nakamoto as being someone who's rotting away in a prison as Bitcoin is exploding throughout the world.
True.
Honestly, given the possibilities, it would rest easier on my mind to just believe that Satoshi Nakamoto is dead.
Well, if this person is Satoshi Nakamoto and this person will get out of jail one day, it would actually be kind of smart, like sitting in jail when you're playing Monopoly and just collecting.
And watching your Bitcoin balance go up year after year. Here's the guy's name. I pulled it up. His name is Paul Solotchi, S-O-L-O-T-S-H-I, Paul Solotchi Calder, which sounds a little bit like Satoshi, Calder LaRue, according to an article written at investinblockchain.com by Jeremy Wall in 2019, then 46-year-old criminal mastermind, is the creator of encryption software E4M and TrueCrypt, which is the cryptography encryption software Satoshi Nakamoto likely used to lock up his 1 million Bitcoin, and author of an uncannily similar manifesto to the one in Bitcoin's white paper written back in 1998. So his manifesto was written in 98. Bitcoin's white paper came out in 2008.
So it's like it's worth looking into as far as hypotheses go.
They say that LaRue employs similar spelling and language in his writing style to that of Satoshi. He's interested in gambling, and Bitcoin's initial code, it says, had a poker client included. And what's more, he's been in jail since 2012.
How old is he?
46 as of 2019, so he'd be about 48 today. That's probably the reason why the Bitcoin hasn't been moved. Again, if you believe this particular theory, they do have a little bit
I do
bit
like
more.
Thinking about the possibility that Satoshi Nakamoto is still alive, and maybe one day Satoshi Nakamoto will speak publicly or something.
Right, because there was recently that court case, Kleinman versus Wright.
For that reason alone, I would love to see it.
Where the suggestion was that, well, beyond the Craig Wright claiming constantly that he's Satoshi, but yet never proving it, the other party in that case, Dave Kleinman, is ostensibly Satoshi and can't do anything about it because he's dead.
Right.
So that's the other theory, is Dave Kleinman is Satoshi, who died several years ago. Also, I believe, around the time Satoshi disappeared. So LaRue is
hearing
also...
this guy had experience in encryption, though, I wasn't impressed when I heard he was a mathematician because I'm not an expert on encryption, but I'm pretty sure being a brilliant mathematician isn't going to help you a whole lot with that.
It didn't hurt, but yeah.
But if he's also an expert on encryption, huh?
Interestingly, he's also apparently a former cartel boss, drug smuggler, arms dealer, and an informant to the DEA, and a genius programmer, according
to the
story. I don't
know if I could believe that Satoshi Nakamoto was an informant. I wouldn't want to believe that.
It doesn't sound like Satoshi Nakamoto. The rest sounds like what I would believe of Satoshi Nakamoto. Okay, he's an advocate of the free market. Kudos to him.
LaRue's Wikipedia page says he lived an eventful life with a career that included gold smuggling, precious metals mining, logging, land deals, drugs and arms trafficking, money laundering, assassinations, encryption software development, and more. Apparently he's in custody now for ordering the assassinations of 6 people.
Does that mean he's in there for life?
I don't have the answer to that question. But they say he was a brilliant programmer and a vicious cartel boss who became a prized U.S. government asset. So there you go. That's the theory. Is it really him? Who knows?
Maybe we'll know one day.
Maybe we will find out someday. But for now, the mystery's still out there. Now we're going to continue here. Another mystery is the Matrix series all about being trans. It's free.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the tax doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, phones open here if you want to join us. You can. The number, 603-283-6160. Whether it is the international intrigue of who is Satoshi Nakamoto, the programmer of Bitcoin, that thing that has completely changed the face of finance in the last decade.
Matt, whether Paul Leroux is Satoshi Nakamoto or not, based on what you were saying during the break about Craig Wright's apparent involvement in having Leroux ultimately incarcerated, I would not want to be Craig Wright.
When LaRue gets out, you mean? Yeah, it's an interesting situation. We don't know what all the details are, but the speculation here of the story, and I'll post it on our social media so you can read the whole thing for yourself. They link to some of the documents and such over at investinblockchain.com. Speculation is that this LaRue guy, this criminal mastermind supposedly, was somehow tied in with Wright because his name appears in what is supposed to be a redacted document in the Craig Wright case, where Craig Wright's this guy that claims to be Satoshi Nakamoto but has never proven it. And it would be a relatively simple thing for the real Satoshi to stand up and be seen and be proven.
It would take minutes.
It would be very easy for the real Satoshi to do, but he's never done it. And so the suggestion here is that these two knew each other. Perhaps Wright was an employee of LaRue's in some way, and that Wright, you know, sent him up the river, basically ratted him out to the cops, somehow helped the police bust LaRue. And
probably
then,
thinking he could, you know, access those encrypted hard drives for himself.
Yeah, and then somehow got his hands on some, you know, some of the wallets, but ultimately they weren't able to crack them.
If he showed that he was Satoshi Nakamoto by signing something, just something simple like that, would it put him in any more danger than it does for him to go around saying, I'm Satoshi Nakamoto, I'm Satoshi Nakamoto?
If he actually proved to you he was the real Satoshi?
Yeah, would it put him in any kind of danger of somebody trying to kill him?
Yeah, I would say it would.
So maybe, I mean, that could be why he won't do it.
Yeah, governments are the worst. I mean, they're probably not taking Craig Wright seriously because the... I mean, really, the figureheads in government are stupid, but the machinery behind government's not overly stupid, and it knows that it would be very easy for Craig Wright to actually prove that he was Satoshi if he was Satoshi, so they're just not taking
waste
the claim.
Their time with it. All right, let's get back to the other story, Aria. You wanted to share, I don't know if you even got into it, actually. We touched on
it a little bit.
There's a story. Where's it coming from?
MSNBC.
Oh,
obviously.
Right, right, right. And they're talking about all this hubbub surrounding the Matrix films, where only after the creators of the Matrix, the Wachowski brothers, now the Wachowski sisters, Lana and Lily, I believe. And by the way, they didn't come out at the same time, from what I understand. One of them came out as trans, and then some number of years later, I think the other one did.
Yes.
But, anyway,
2012 and I think 2016.
Yeah, so it was after one of them came out as trans that all of a sudden people started saying, oh, yeah, we should have seen it all along. The Matrix was all about being trans. And so what do you have to say about that?
Well, this is exactly what they're arguing here. That, well, they don't actually make the claim here. They just link to one of their articles where they do make the claim. But it's being positioned as a trans allegory. The whole trilogy,
allegory.
And not just... Yes, allegory. It remains to be seen that the long-awaited sequel, directed by one of the Wachowski sisters, will tackle trans conversations more overtly than its predecessor.
Didn't see that.
I didn't see any...
You haven't seen the movie yet, but did you see that, Bonnie, in the fourth Matrix? I didn't either. No.
I didn't see a whole lot of it during the original trilogy either, to be fair. Following a year of near-constant political and media attacks on trans rights in this country, I don't know what year this last person just went through, but I didn't see any of that. It's worth revisiting the importance of the original Matrix as a fixture of pop culture and looking at the work we as a society still have to do when it comes to trans rights visibility and culture. They talk about the red pill here for a bit and about how evidently this is because the significance of this and how it relates to trans things is that Premarin, which for those who don't know stands for, it's short for pregnant mare urine. It's a hormone cocktail. Yeah, that's what it's derived from.
Oh my.
It's a hormone cocktail basically that is more well-rounded than just taking straight up estradiol, which is just synthetic estrogen.
Okay.
But it's a brand name one and it's more expensive, and I don't know any trans person who's ever taken Premarin. It may have been more popular in the 90s, evidently.
And the idea is it comes in a red pill?
It comes in a red pill. However, estradiol, which is far more common, is a blue pill. So I can't take the idea of Premarin.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, they're doing basically the same thing. So how could they be, red pill and blue pill?
Right. I mean, if Premarin is supposed to be represented by this red pill, I mean, I can accept that, but that would... What is the blue pill supposed to be represented by then? If it couldn't be estradiol, right? Because that breaks the whole allegory that they're trying, or the metaphor that they're trying to create there. It just doesn't work. It's grasping at straws.
They are grasping, yeah.
It's just red and blue because people kind of think of those colors as like opposites. They're not opposite on the color wheel, but they're kind of just seen as opposites, Democrat and Republican.
But what fascinates me most about this entire thing isn't even what MSNBC has to say about it. It's that I posted about this on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. And what did you say?
I said that, you know, MSNBC says it's an obvious allegory for transitioning and me being a trans person. I think they're probably wrong, but I'm going to look into it anyway. And make,
so you
make
went and watched the movie again.
Yes. But it was quite frequently throughout the day I would receive comments from people posting links to articles that claimed the Wachowski sisters, some people would just comment, but the directors are on record having said that this is the case. People arguing with me about, well, look, I'm not saying it's not the case. I'm just saying I'm going to watch it and see if this is actually there. So,
but are they on record saying
that's
that?
That's the really curious thing. I just assumed when I saw people start posting the articles, I didn't read them. I was just like, look, it's really easy for an artist to transition and then look back through their catalog and realize and think, oh, this is clearly, you know, metaphorical for me wanting to transition and being unable to or whatever. Oh, I drew a butterfly once. That was clearly metaphorical for my need to transition. It's very easy for artists to reinterpret their own work. And this is from someone who has spent years making music and writing literature. It's very easy to do that sort of thing. And when you have something, a movie that's about transformation in the first place, it's especially easy. So I finally, as I was driving to pick up lunch today, I realized that the chance, it's almost no chance that either of these directors actually said this, right? Because this happens all the time. We had an example.
But looked it up?
Yes.
And couldn't find it?
No.
Okay.
But we had an example of this a few weeks ago where someone had used a headline, and as we read the article, we realized that the article said the exact opposite of what the headline claimed that the
article
was going.
There's so much crap like that.
There is. And that's exactly what every single one of these were. And all of these people were just sharing these links with me without ever actually reading the articles.
Wow.
You'd think they'd at least be curious.
But they're not. They just see the headline that says, Lily Wachowski confirms that it's the whole movie's a trans metaphor. And they just share that. They just base it off the headline. But if you look, she says, look, I have no idea how much of my unconscious was affected by my transness at the time. So she's saying she has no idea, you know, how being trans...
I mean, it is possible, right?
Like certainly.
Subconsciously, you might have put some sort of a theme in here or there or whatever. But, I mean, are the Transformers also a trans allegory? I mean, because they hide in plain sight. Right? And it actually says Transformers.
That was sort of the point that I ended up making. Was
I'm not saying that. It's as ridiculous.
I mean, Harry Potter is basically the same story, just with the kid. It's yanked out of this world, placed into this world, and told that you're the chosen one and you're going to defeat the evil, the big bad, or whatever. It's exactly the same story. So to say that because the Matrix has those elements, it's clearly about transitioning, then okay, so Harry Potter is clearly about transitioning as well, right?
No.
But no, it's
into
not.
Into a witch.
Right. And the Matrix is clearly not about... I mean, sure, as you were saying, some parts of the movie, like... At one point, Morpheus says to Neo, or no, Agent Smith says to Neo, by day you're this person, by night you're this person. That's something that every trans person has faced. So when I watched that scene, I was like, okay, that's probably inspired by their experience as a trans person, because as far back as I think 2003, there were rumors about one of these sisters cross-dressing. I don't remember which one it was.
Okay.
So even back then, they were already living a double life and occasionally getting caught and things like that. So I could get how that would inform that part of the movie. But it's not like this omnipresent thing that's there. And to call it, you know, a movie that's just, it's about a gender transition, it cheapens so much of what that first movie is, pulling references from all manner of religions and philosophical ideas.
Oh, yeah, so much deeper than that.
Like Simulacrum and Simulations or something like that was required reading for every single actor. But no, it's just a movie about transitioning genders.
And the main thing that kind of bothers me about it is just the fact that I can't see it with specifically the character Neo. Like, it doesn't seem to have anything to do with his story. Like, and I mean, like...
Pretty clearly just a straight guy.
I mean, like, the...
Just a dork.
He does transition into something else, or transform into something else, but it has nothing to do with that. I could see it if they put it... If they put that as a story with another character, but I don't think they did.
Maybe we'll continue the discussion after you've seen the fourth one, Arya, this week, perhaps.
There's a butterfly in it.
See you tomorrow.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow.
Or moving slow.
And that most everything costs more these days.
Costs more these days.
But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief, an extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now.
you could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.